Hello and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Amber Rainey. At Rancho Coastal Humane Society, they give because you give. It's only because of you that they can shelter, care, and find homes for hundreds of animals every year. It's why Rancho Coastal Humane Society can offer the many programs and services that strengthen the human-animal bond. Joining the show today, John Van Santy, the Public Relations Director at Rancho Coastal Humane Society. Well, hello, John. Glad to have you on the show. How are you?
I am as well as can be expected. I'm glad to be in the office.
Oh, are you in the office?
Yeah, well, part of the thing here is it's like animal shelters are essential. It's not like a store where you can just lock the door and go away. And plus, we have to keep doing our job. Like 95% of our pets here are transferred into us from other shelters where they're overcrowded and they just keep coming in. So with us going out to these other shelters, the rescue partners, in a lot of cases, if we don't take those animals and bring them here and find them homes, they don't have a future without us.
Yeah, you guys are very much essential.
Yep, exactly.
Real quick, before we get into talking about pet adoption, summer pet safety and heat danger and all that good stuff, I want to talk to you about, we were just messaging each other on Facebook, and you said you needed to set up a camera to shoot kitten videos for CBS and Big Brother on CBS Interactive. What is going on?
With the TV show Big Brother, there are always on CBS Interactive, there's live cameras in the Big Brother house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you can log on through CBS Interactive and watch what's going on in the Big Brother house, which sometimes everybody's napping. Sometimes they're fighting, sometimes they're working out or plotting. But when they do set construction, when they do a competition, when they do a vote to evict somebody, they don't want you to watch that online. They want you to watch the show for ratings. And so they shut down the cameras. And when they shut down the cameras for CBS Interactive worldwide, they say the house guests will be back soon, and they show puppies, kittens, and bunnies from Rancho Coastal Humane Society.
Stop it! Are you serious?
Yeah. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
That is so cool!
Yeah, and it's just that, but when we did it with them, we said, yes, we appreciate that. The only thing is, since this is available worldwide, we need to make sure that it's not just about Rancho Coastal Humane Society. We want to make sure that anybody anywhere in the world who's watching this gets the message that you go visit your local shelter or rescue, wherever you are. And actually, the first season that we did it, I don't know if this is our fifth or sixth season, but the first season that we did it, we didn't know that they had gone live with our kittens until we got in the next morning and had a $25 donation that came in from a lady in New York City in honor of the kittens that she saw on Big Brother.
That is such a great idea, and that is so cool that it's you that gets to do it. I mean, I know it's raising awareness for all the pets that need to be adopted, but I think that's just so cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, it was one of those things where they were looking, and for God's sakes, it's CBS Television Network. They can go anywhere that they want to, and so after we had a few meetings and done some conference calls, and I don't know who these people are. It's like I'm thinking it's the interns or something, and then it ends up that it's. Like, no, it's the director of sales for CBS. It's the senior production editors for Big Brother. And the one guy that we worked with for a while, they transferred them, said CBS is going to transfer me to a different show. I said, oh, well, what are you going to go work on? And he goes, well, I've been working on Big Brother, but they're moving me to Canada for 6 months to work on the new Star Trek. But you're really going to like the guy who replaces me. He and I used to work together on Survivor.
Oh, my gosh. That is so neat.
And these are, like, senior editors. But they came down. We went to lunch one day. And I said, so, don't take this wrong, but why us? You're CBS. You can go anywhere. And he said, He said, well, we looked across the country. We decided it might be easier if we're working with somebody in Southern California, and because they were going to drive in every week and change video cards. And I said, well, why would you drive down from Burbank? It's a GoPro. I can switch the cards out and send them to you. And he said, well, we did a lot of searching. And he said, first of all, Rancho Coastal Humane Society gets more publicity than any other shelter in Southern California. So when we went looking, you guys popped up. And then they had gone to a shelter in L.A., but he said, they're too high-tech. Every animal has its own room with cameras and computer and everything. And he said, this is what an animal shelter is supposed to look like.
Oh, that is lovely. Well, kudos to you and everyone over at Rancho Coastal Humane Society for doing it right, you know? I've seen some places where it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is, you know, where the dogs and cats that are up for adoption, they're living like this. And
Yeah. Well, and it's like with us, when we go out to Imperial County, you know, euthanasia rate is high out there. It's a different consciousness as far as how people care for their animals. And we go out there, and we've got three different shelters and a huge rescue that we visit. We go out, we take the animals, we bring them in here. They all go through medical, but you get out there, and one of our people went out and shot video. And it's like, you know, there's several dogs in a kennel. And, you know, they just don't have the staff. It's, like I said, a different consciousness. And but they come out here, and which accounts for some of the names that they get, because by the time you figure out folks have driven 2.5 hours to get there, they spend a couple hours in the kennel, they load them up, they come back, they have 2.5 more hours to think about names for them, which is how you get dogs named Tater Tot von Booferhausen. And it's like, they've got way too much time to think about this.
That's great. Well, now with the COVID-19 pandemic, I'm assuming your facilities aren't open, right?
That's right. We shut down some of the programs, our humane education program. We do spring, summer, and fall animal camp. And the spring camp was totally canceled. Summer camp, we're hoping to open up for the second half. And we're thinking about fall camp. Our pet-assisted therapy that visits convalescent homes and veterans' homes and things like that, that's canceled. On the other hand, our community pet food bank, we have increased hours for that because you've got a lot of people, you know, particularly seniors, people that are shut in, veterans, homeless people. So it used to be that we were open 2 Saturdays a month. Now we're open every Saturday morning on that. We're still doing distribution at a couple of other places.
Now, how does that work? Do you show up at the Rancho Coastal Humane Society and donate food?
People donate. They either donate food or make a financial donation to help us buy food. And then people can come in here every Saturday morning between 9 and 11. And I know some of the places that do programs like this, you have to come in, you have to bring in your IRS forms, you have to bring in pay stubs.
Wear your mask.
And it's like, yeah, wear your mask. But like with this, you know, somebody comes in and they say, I need help feeding my cat. So how many hoops do we want them to jump through? Zero. You need help feeding your pet. And with a lot of cases like this, it's people that if we can't help them feed their pet, they're going to get rid of their pet. And it's like, there's enough stuff going on that you shouldn't have to make a decision to give up your best friend because you can't afford a bag of cat food.
Is there a way that if someone is struggling financially and they can't afford food for their pet, is there a way to reach out to you? Is there a phone number to call?
Well, they can log on to the website at sdpets.org or just show up here on Saturday morning between 9 and 11.
And where are you located?
At 389 Requeza Street, Requeza Street in Encinitas. It's what people drive by. There's just like us and then the ditch, and then I-5 on the other side, which I always tell the story about. I've got a picture from 1962 of a horse and a couple of geese in what's now our military working dog memorial area, only private military working dog memorial west of the Mississippi. But I've got this picture of this horse and a couple of geese and this Dodge Dart driving by on a dirt path. And I always tell people, well, the Dodge Dart is gone, the horse and the geese are gone, the dirt path is still there, but now it's paved and we call it Interstate 5.
That is incredible. I love
you
that.
You know, really, you think about it, because it's 1960, well, the shelter actually got its nonprofit. This month, we're celebrating our 60th anniversary.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And you know, you think 1960 is like, yeah, it's not that long ago. You know, Beach Boys songs and VW buses. But in 1960, when the shelter opened, Interstate 5 was not here yet.
It was a dirt road.
Yeah.
So if someone was interested in adopting a pet, how do they do that now with things being closed?
Go onto the website at sdpets.org. They can look at the cats and the dogs and the bunnies. And if you see one that you like, that you're interested in adopting, you can click on there to fill out an adoption survey.
And what is that survey?
It's a questionnaire. You know, we know the pets, but we don't know the people. Mm-hmm. So we can tell you that, you know, Charlie, the 150-pound mastiff who is just around the corner from my office, we know the kind of pet that Charlie needs. You know, he's an old dog that lived with an old lady who died. We're not going to put him in a house with somebody with, you know, a bunch of little kids.
Right.
So
you just want to make it a good fit.
Yeah, I always say we try and match the needs of the pet with the desires of the family. And so what you would do is go on and fill out the adoption survey. When I adopted my dog Jake here 6 years ago, I did the same thing. Even though I work here and I've been working with animals for 21 years since I got out of radio, and I sat down and filled out the survey, because my dog before that I'd had for 13 years, and there's a lot that you forget. And, you know, people who go, oh, we always get puppies. It's like, when's the last time you had a puppy? Well, we got this one 16 years ago. It's like, okay, do you remember that they don't know where to potty? They don't know how to walk on a leash. They don't know what to chew on. The chewing could be your new shoes or your couch. And the lady said, well, we want a kitten, but we want to get an 8-week-old kitten, but we want to get one that we know won't scratch on the couch. Well, you know, you're not going to get it here, and you're not going to get it anywhere else. But so you fill out the survey, which I always encourage people to do that at home. And it brings up a lot of questions and things that you probably haven't thought about in a while. Things like landlord approval, homeowners association, things that people don't necessarily think about. And it's like, oh, we should get a puppy. Well, then they come out here, and it's like the guy that came out that wanted to adopt the Great Dane. Single guy, construction worker, lived alone on a third-story apartment with a 3-by-6-foot balcony overlooking a parking lot. Yeah, because you're going to take this 8-month-old Great Dane puppy, who was like 120 pounds, and leave him on a 3-by-6-foot uncovered balcony in the sun. And eventually he's going to see a bird or something. So that's what we do, is the adoption survey asks the questions and gives you some things to talk about. If you go through there and you feel like, I want to adopt Sour Cream, the kitten, then you send that in. You put in the subject line dog adoption, cat adoption, rabbit adoption. It goes into one of our adoption counselors. They review the survey. If they feel like it's a potential for a good match, right now with the adoptions by appointment, they call you and do an interview over the phone. It's normally an interview that you would do here in the lobby. But now we do it over the phone, and if that works out good, then you make an appointment. You come in, yourself, your family. Like this morning, there were some people that came in, and they brought their other dog. And the dogs meet here at the shelter in a contained, controlled situation. Because we want to make sure that if for some reason those dogs aren't going to get along, we want to find it out here. We don't want you to get up and go to church on Sunday morning and come back 2 hours later and find out that your dogs have decided while you were gone who's the alpha dog.
So with the COVID pandemic and things closed down, are you still looking for volunteers to help out?
As far as volunteers right now, we are working on core staff, which works terrific because, like our adoption counselors and the animal care providers who are normally dividing their time between working with customers, working with public, things like that. But they don't have all those people here, but we do know when people are coming in. So it's core staff, which is animal care providers, medical, and a few of our senior volunteers.
And now with it being summer, I thought it'd be good to talk about summer pet safety and heat danger and what to be aware of when you have pets.
Yeah, you know, it's if you walk out and you put your hand down, on the pavement, because it's like even right here in front of the shelter, I've got one of those little laser thermometers. And so walk out, the concrete right out in front of the shelter was 115 degrees. I moved over a foot onto the asphalt, and the asphalt, it's dark, it absorbs the heat. It was 137 degrees a foot over. Can you hear that dog?
I can. I love
it. Hold on. Let me see if I can get him to move it, okay?
Oh, it's fine. It's just not bothering me.
Yeah? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All righty. I see these charts that people put on. I saw one a couple of weeks ago. At first, I chuckled, and then I got pissed off because it says the temperature inside a closed car can reach 100 degrees in an hour. And it's like, no, I've been doing this heat demonstration every summer since 1999, where I get into a closed vehicle, or I get into a vehicle, I close the doors, I roll up the window, I take a thermometer with me, hold a news conference. This was the first year that we zoomed it live. The temperature in the vehicle, it was 80 degrees here in Encinitas. I got into the vehicle, close the doors and windows, set up the thermometer on the dashboard, and we went from 80 degrees to 147 in 2 minutes.
And you were sitting in the car while doing this experiment?
Yeah.
Did you have to, like, tap out and be like, okay, hey, I can't do it anymore?
Well, I had to, Judy, the shelter president, standing outside. This was the first year that we zoomed up. Before, we've always got, you know, TV coverage, radio coverage on it. But, yeah, this was the first year that we actually zoomed it live. Because you tell people it will go from 80 to 110 in, like, a minute and 15 seconds. And people go, yeah, that's not true. Well, so we did it live this year, and people could see. It's like, good Lord.
And even if you have the windows cracked, that's still not going to work.
You crack the windows, it makes a difference of about 5 degrees.
And that's nothing when it's 130, 140 degrees inside of a car.
So big deal. You leave your kids. We do it for pets, but we always remind people, children, seniors, someone who's been recently sick, someone who's on medication, someone who's overweight. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
I can't hear myself think. Hold on. There we go. That's a dog that came into us. One of our programs is the Animal Safe House program that we started in 1997 to take in the pets of domestic violence victims. Because with domestic violence victims, most of the shelters are good to take the human victims and the children, but they're just not set up to take the animals. And animals left behind in domestic violence situations generally become the new victims. And so human victims stay rather than to let their pets become the new victims. So we started the Animal Safe House program in 1997 to take in the pets of domestic violence victims. I always call it the safety net, because once human victims know that their pets are going to be okay, they can escape themselves. That particular dog that was out there going crazy came to us through the Animal Safe House program. And one of the other things that happens with that is that sometimes the people causing the violence won't necessarily hit the human victim or the children, but they will abuse the animal as a source of mental and emotional torture. That puppy that was just barking his head off, 5 months old, been with us about a month here at the shelter and was in foster care before that. But we got him when he was when she was about 4 months old, and terrified, just absolutely terrified, and in pain and limping. And we brought her in here. We went through, did medical. One of the things that they found was somebody had tried to strangle her to death.
Oh, my goodness. That is heartbreaking.
And so here she is. She's 5 months old. We're working with her. Our behaviorist is working with her. The staff, the volunteers who just go and sit with her. But it's like, she's 5 months old. She's a baby. Somebody did that to her. And can't think of a lower life form. It's just crazy.
If someone is in that situation, how would they get information about the Animal Safe House?
They can look on the website. They can talk to a social worker. They can talk to a police officer. And everything. It's all private. There is no charge. But with that, we started with domestic violence victims. But then we had a call from a veteran. And domestic violence victims, whenever possible, we reunite them with the pet. But sometimes it's just like the thought of the pet is just one more thing for him to worry about. And so it used to be that the pets automatically came in for 90 days, where now it's an option. We can take your pet in. We can take it in for a day, a few days, a few weeks, 3 months. But the veteran that came in and said, you know, I have limited time left. I need help with my dog. The military family that came in and just got moved out here from Virginia. Dad had to go to work. Mom's trying to get the kids in school. Their housing isn't ready. And the hotel, the motel where they were staying, the guy says, you got to get rid of the dog. Well, good Lord, they just packed up everybody and moved them all the way across the country. And so the dogs came in here for a couple of weeks. They were great dogs. Family came in and visited them every day. 2 weeks later, they came and picked up the dogs. 2 days after that, they were back. The military housing that they moved into had black mold. So they were back at the motel. The dogs came in. There were big, goofy labs. And then a couple of weeks later, they came back and got him. But, you know, you think about those kids that, you know, it wasn't a violent situation. It's just we got uprooted and moved across the country. We don't know anybody. We're in a new school, and now we're going to lose our dogs? And it's like, no, Animal Safe House program kept the dogs, and they could come out and see them. And a month later, they were in their new house, in their new school with mom and dad, and they got their dogs back.
What a great program, Animal Safe House. I love it. I think that's just great. Is there a special website for the Animal Safe House?
They can log on to sdpets.org. Okay. And then go over to programs, and there's a drop-down.
Wonderful. And what is the address over at the Rancho Coastal Humane Society?
We're at 389 Requeza Street. That's Requeza, Encinitas. Right now, since we're open by appointments only, the best way to get hold of us is through the website at sdpets.org or email info@sdpets.org. We do a pet loss support program for a pet that's died. After I lost Howie after 13 years, I was a mess. I had a few dark days I don't even remember. I swear to God. My office mate, God bless him, sat here. I had an office mate at the time. He sat here and watched me cry, like, nonstop for 3 days. But with the pet loss support program, normally we do 2 meetings per month here at the shelter. But with COVID, what we're offering now is one-on-one, 20-minute telephone consultations with the counselors.
You guys have so many wonderful programs, and you guys do so many wonderful things for not just the pets, but for the community as well.
With the Pet Loss Support Program, it's not a pity party, because everybody there has enough sadness. The reason for pet loss support is to help you recover from it and determine what's next. And just one other thing, Amber. Our Rancho Coastal Humane Society thrift shop, which opened in 1960, and the purpose of the thrift shop is to raise funds to support the shelter, which could be money that goes for pet food or supplies. It could be money that pays for a surgery that saves a pet's life. It could be for educational materials for our humane education program. But we always joke about it that our thrift shop opened a long time before Earth Day. So if you take a look at Rancho Coastal Humane Society, between the thrift shop and the pet adoption program, we were recycling long before recycling was cool. And, so it's gently used pets that we find new homes for. And with the thrift shop, it's divided up like a department store. And we got hit hard by the virus. Last year, last fiscal year, the thrift shop at 120 Aberdeen Drive in Cardiff, last fiscal year it raised $1.2 million for the shelter. We got to the last quarter of this last fiscal year, and we were closed for 3 months. So that's money that normally would be coming in. So they're working really hard. We're trying to work it out so we can stay open during this most recent shutdown. But people that come in there, it's funny because we had a lady that drove up from Lemon Grove, and she would drive to the thrift shop and meet her friend from Huntington Beach. It was their midway point. They would come down, and before they met, they would both go through their houses and take stuff they weren't using anymore, load it up, come down, donate it to the thrift shop, go have lunch, and then come back and go shopping again before they went home. Gonna make our old stuff your new stuff.
That's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, John Van Zanzi, Public Relations Director at the Rancho Coastal Humane Society, for joining the show today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to one of these days when I can get back in there some weekday morning and tease you all with a litter of puppies.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait for that. Hopefully sooner rather than later, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, you take care.
Amber, thank you.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on the station's website. I'm Amber Rainey. Have a great day.